Hey everybody, welcome to Backyard Space Opera Podcast. It's me, Kyle. Today we have a wonderful interview with Anthony Rizzin about his new movie, Devil's Night. So without further ado, here's Anthony. So Anthony, so tell me all about your project and your company and all that stuff.
The project is called Devil's Night. It's a short film. It's basically about a group of kids who get into trouble after messing around with a local legend involving a witch on the night before Halloween. My website is panamorphicpictures.net. You can check out like the production stills and the teaser on there and everything.
Nice. And the teaser's amazing. How did that come together? Because that's cut really well. Did you do that or do you have an editor and all that?
Actually, I have an editor that did that. His name is Richard Loprasong. I might have said that wrong, but it's Loprasong. He's great. He actually made the poster for the film as well.
Oh, that's cool. The poster's really good as well. I mean, send in my congrats because that was an excellent trailer. I was very impressed.
Awesome. I will. He is great for sure. He's really fast too, which was awesome.
Yeah, getting a good editor is so, I think, critical. I don't know if you've listened to our show. Like, we harp about it all the time and it's clear he knows what he's doing. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm definitely a fan of the show. I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you. So where are you coming from? Are you doing this professionally or is this a new thing for you? Where are you at in all this?
This is fairly new for me. This is actually my first film that I've ever made. I've only been into filmmaking for probably going on 3 years now. I actually started out pretty much just watching cartoons all the time. I've just got into kind of movies and horror specifically. I got into film because of special effects, actually. That's what kind of drew me into it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, me too. Same thing.
Yeah, that's actually why I started watching your guys' show, because I was just looking for like special effects shows and I just found you guys and I was like, oh, awesome. These guys are cool.
Are you more into drawing to the practical special effects or do you like the computer animation? Do you have like a niche that you want to get into?
Oh, definitely practical, but I'm into like green screen and stuff like that too. So I kind of like both of them, but more so practical for sure.
And are you the kind of like the horror, like the blood elements and that kind of thing?
I've been getting into like the blood rigs and stuff like that, like bullet hits and throat slits and stuff like that. But I would say I like more fantasy stuff over horror, I guess. But
okay.
Horror is actually really fun to me. So I've been diving pretty deep into it. And on this project, there was actually a lot of cool special effects guys involved. Ryan Shadley, he's got a shop in Minneapolis, and he's worked with people like Christopher Lloyd. He's head casted Christopher Lloyd, which I thought was awesome.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, and then Chris Ballas, he was actually on this project as well. He's worked with a bunch of people like David Lynch, Tim Burton, Kevin Smith. He was under the tutelage of Dick Smith, actually, which is insane to me.
So how did that come about? Did you hire them or do you know them? Or?
Well, kind of knew Ryan Shadley. Like, I was just following him on Facebook and I just randomly hit him up. And he's the one that kind of helped out with like all the props and everything. And there's an effect that I was going to do myself, but I just kind of wanted to focus on directing. So I kind of hit up Chris because Ryan was busy on one of the days. I hit both of them up on Facebook. I was just like, hey guys, I got this small little project. I'm not sure if you'd be interested, but here's the script. Check it out. These are the effects I need. If you're interested, hit me up and send me a price, blah, blah, blah. And we kind of just, they were interested. They were both free at the time. So it just kind of worked out, I guess.
Wow, I love that. That's just really inspiring to me of how the community comes together to help each other. It's great to hear.
Yeah, Minnesota actually has a really good film scene, surprisingly, because I'm not actually from Minnesota. I'm from like the Chicago, like a little south of Chicago. But I kind of travel all the time. I just kind of ended up in Minnesota and everything kind of led one thing to the next, you know, and now I have this short film.
That's awesome. So are you doing this professionally then, or do you have your day job too?
Yeah, I have a day job right now, but that's slowly transitioning into time, which there's some talks about maybe a feature coming up. So,
oh, that's awesome. And I'm always fascinated by the, not only like the making of the movie, but also the process that people do to get funding and what is their distribution. So have you got to that step yet for Devil's Night and for the feature thing, or where's all that at?
Well, for Devil's Night, I just funded that pretty much myself. It wasn't too devastating, really. It was done fairly cheap. It was like around $5,000 for this. And yeah, I just paid for that myself. But I did have a little bit of help. Jessica Mraz, she came on the project and as an executive producer. And, you know, she helped out with $1,000 of the budget. And Gabrielle Aerosmith loaned me a little bit of money too, which was awesome. So I had a little bit of help, but mainly it was just me working and then doing this on weekends. And it was only 2 weekends, both Saturday and Sunday. It was cool. A lot of people volunteered on this project because of my DP, Anthony Cousins, and my producer, Alex Konstam. They both helped get all these people. And the majority of everybody volunteered, which was insane to me because nobody knew who I was, you know?
Oh, that's cool. Because it looks very, just from the teaser, it looks very well done in terms of it's very slick. It's super, I mean, if you told me you spent $20,000 on it, I'd be like, yeah, that would make sense. Because it looks really, I mean, you're doing nights, you got lighting, it's good looking stuff. And I've only seen the 30-second teaser. So I can't, you know, that's amazing. You did it for $5,000.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I hope people like it for sure. For being my first film, I'm kind of excited to show people.
How was it working with the children actors?
Oh, they were actually surprisingly awesome. Like, that was part of the challenge. Like, I wanted to set certain challenges for this project just to, like, test myself, you know? Like, is directing, am I cut out for directing and so forth and so on? But so I set it at night. That has its own challenges. And
Bold. That's bold.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. But then I also wanted to work with child actors because it's something they tell you to avoid. And I just like testing myself. So I put 8 kids in this short film.
Wow. And do you have a background working with kids and all that?
Nah, not really. Like, I owned a skate shop for a while. Like, it had an indoor park and everything. So we always had a bunch of kids there, and I always taught them certain things with skateboarding sometimes. So, I mean, I worked with them in that sense, I guess, but never in anything else.
Okay, but you had kind of that management skills of how to, like, navigate them and stuff. So that's good.
Yeah. And I actually like acting myself. So I enjoy working with actors and stuff. And I think kids, just having the protagonist, like being the kid and putting them in a real situation, is interesting to me. Kind of like my favorite director, Steven Spielberg, he's always working with kids, and nobody really had any pointers on working with kids either. And I thought that was interesting. So I set all those challenges. I actually had a cat in this script at first.
Oh man, animals and kids in the same movie.
Yeah, I just wanted all the challenges all in one, but I actually took out the cat. So we couldn't really find a cat. I really wanted to. I was actually going to use my dog. I was like, because the cat needed a hiss. So I was going to have my dog walk up to the cat or something, trying to get it to hiss.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
But I avoided that part.
I have mixed feelings on that because it's like, I know here in LA, if you go through the proper channels, there's all these like rules and stuff for using animals. And I'm all about micro budget, do it yourself stuff. But at the same time with animals, I get nervous. So I don't know.
I'm a huge animal lover. So like if anything bad would happen, I definitely would have just stopped it. But
yeah, no. And that's the thing. Like, I know everybody is usually good. I did this 48-hour project, and at the announcement, they're like, okay, we know this is stupid to say, but we feel like we have to say it. Please make sure you don't use any animals in your movie because you're going to hurt them. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I definitely plan on using my dog in a movie or something sometime. He's a Siberian Husky.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, he's awesome. He goes everywhere with me. I don't even think I could be where I'm at without him, actually. So.
Oh, that's sweet. What's his name?
Beow, kind of like Beowulf.
Nice.
Yeah.
I won't tell you where my mind went. I think Beowulf is way cooler.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just say his full name's Beowulf.
That's cool. Yeah. So you put in all these challenges, which is really gutsy. I mean, that's impressive that you wanted to challenge yourself that way. Is that kind of how you approach most things in life? You just want to put the biggest challenge you can?
Well, I just wanted to see if because I've always tried so many things in my life and I've been good at them, but I've kind of moved on from all the things in the past. And I just wanted to see if this was actually what I was meant for, or if I'm just wasting my time, really. And honestly, I've never had more fun ever in my life.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you feel, did you go through a training process, or are you self-taught? Did you go to film school or anything?
No, I'm completely self-taught. I just learned from, you know, like people like you on podcasts and YouTube and behind the scenes and books like Tom Savini's Grand Illusions and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the, yeah.
Basically it started kind of like as I just wanted to try an effect, and I was like, well, why don't I just add a couple lines of dialogue to it and just make something, a small little scene or something. And everything kept building, you know, until I got to a certain point where I was just like, well, why not make a full on short film?
I love hearing that. That's exactly it. That's, I think, for people who are listening, is like, it doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world to get started. You can just try it. And I would say too, that I think if you do set up all these challenges and you don't necessarily meet every single one, that's okay. Cause like you said, you took out the cat, and it doesn't mean you're a bad filmmaker. It just means this particular one, you're not going to jump that hurdle.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Like, you can't be afraid to fail. More than likely you are going to fail.
Yeah.
But that's another challenge that you have to face, you know, like, can you overcome that and keep going, or are you just not cut out for it? And, you know, that's all right if you aren't, you know, find something else. But if you do fail and you still feel like you wake up every day and it's the only thing you think about, and it's the last thing you think about before bed, you know, then you know it's like, this is something that you're really passionate about.
That's beautifully said. I totally agree. I think people can sometimes talk themselves out of trying, and it sounds like you kept that in mind. They're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to challenge myself, and I'm just going to take my shot and stay focused on the possibilities instead of the negatives. Is that kind of how you approach things?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is your long-term plan? So do you want to eventually get a studio job? Are you looking to build your company, or where? So, I mean, you've got this great, I feel like a great mindset for doing this. I've met other people who have the same kind of thing. And I think you guys are the ones who are going to do amazing stuff, as opposed to somebody who is constantly searching for funding from some kind of official source. And so where do you want to take this, I guess, would be my question.
Well, I mean, the sky is the limit. I'll take it as far as I can go. But basically, I don't really have, like, I don't need to be in a Hollywood situation. You know, I can get an independent level for the rest of my life and I'll be happy. You know, I just love making films. There's obviously goals to make bigger ones and get more funding and all that good stuff. But really, if I made short films for the rest of my life, I'd still be happy.
Oh, that's awesome. This is a horror film, and you'd like the horror genre, but you're saying you do like the fantasy genre as well. Is that kind of where you want to start moving into? Because I know horror is a little bit easier in terms of production, but is that the next step to do fantasy, or are you going to stick with the horror for the time being?
Well, the feature that I mentioned earlier is going to be a horror, and so I'll probably be in horror for a little while longer. But yeah, I definitely plan on expanding genres a little bit, because I don't want to just do horror. I would like to do all kinds of genres, really. Like, even a martial arts film would be cool.
Oh, that would be awesome. We're going to do a little thing coming up in next month of messing around, doing some shots of this martial arty sci-fi thing we're doing. So I'll send you some little clips from that, because I've never done it before. I said, let's do something with a lot of choreography. He's like, okay. We found my friend, she's a former ballerina, so she could do all these like super high kicks and all this stuff. So we're like training her on like pseudo fake, you know, stunt fighting, but she's already got the flexibility to make it look good. So we're excited.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. I've always been into like the martial arts movies, the old Bruce Lee and stuff like that. I'm actually a martial artist myself. So,
Well, there you go. You got the skills then.
Yeah, I've kind of wanted to choreograph a little bit of my own stuff, but I also want that experience of working with a stunt coordinator too. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I have to say, it's my couple of times working with a stunt coordinator has been pretty fun. He taught us how to do a fire effect of getting the sword to light on fire. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
It was pretty crazy. And he's my job. He's like, okay, you show me how to do it. And he's like, da da da. He's like, you're now. When we actually do it, though, your job is to hold this fire extinguisher, and if I catch on fire, you put me out. It's like, okay.
Yeah, definitely got to be ready for any accidents.
So, do you have a specific kind of special effect that you want to kind of get more into? I'm curious, since you're into that, do you have like like, for me, stop motion has always been really my passion, but I also love prop design and costume creation and that kind of stuff. Do you have anything like that you want to focus on?
The main focus so far has been like blood rigs, basically, you know, rigging up the blood for like throat slits and gunshots and stuff like that. But I would like to get more into sculpting and like building masks and creatures or stuff like that, or even, you know, just like fantasy style mask and costumes and body suits and stuff like that. But that's pretty advanced right now. I think Ryan Shadley is talking about kind of teaching me some stuff. So that's awesome that came from this production as well, you know?
Yeah. And I have to say, that's really fun. I enjoy the sculpting. I've made a couple of masks, and it's really neat to just go from the clay to the mask, to the painted. And what I found a new technique that I don't know if people actually do or not, but I got this from Paul Salamoff when I interviewed him. He said, like, you take your EVA foam and you kind of carve and create your character out of that. And then you paint, you put on a latex coat just brush on latex over the EVA foam, and then it dries, and then you paint it. And I made this dragon head, and it looks really cool. I was like, wow, what a great technique, as opposed to sculpting and casting and painting, and it's all very messy with the plaster and stuff. So if you want more on that, I'll show you what I've done, and maybe that's something you could try as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always trying to learn in every aspect of filmmaking.
Are you going to do a lot of self-marketing, or kind of what is your marketing plan, or do you have that yet? Or I guess are you going to do the film festival circuit, or?
I've already been talking to a couple of the people at some of the festivals here in Minnesota. So we'll definitely be doing some festivals here, but I'm going to actually try to kind of go all over with it if I can. And it's kind of my promotional thing so I can get funding for other projects, I guess.
Yeah,
is the basic idea for this. But if I can, I'm going to try and get on a couple more podcasts and just keep pushing it online through like Facebook and all the social medias and stuff like that. Like I said, I have some production stills, and I'm going to be getting some interviews with cast and crew to kind of help promote it, and also kind of give some insight maybe to other filmmakers if they're trying to make projects and want some inspiration, because I really want to inspire people to work on their projects as well.
Yeah. And that's, and I love that about the people in this community. It's everybody is very giving and supportive of each other. And I just think that's so refreshing. And I love that, where as opposed to some of the other industries I work in, it's not always the case. So I don't know what it is about filmmakers that I meet. I don't know if every filmmaker is that way, but for whatever reason, I seem to run into people like you who are like, yeah, I want to give back. I want to help everybody else. We can all succeed at the same time. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's like that in this industry.
I know. I think I just been lucky. Or maybe I self-selected some kind of subconscious way.
Yeah, the majority of everybody is awesome, though. But you find those couple people where they resent the fact that you're having any sort of success, you know.
Have you run into those people too a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. And I don't know. I try to help them as much as possible, but some people don't want help, you know. So
that's true. Yeah. No, I know about that for sure. But so you're going to do the marketing, the Facebook, all the social media stuff. And, you know, and I struggle with that. It's like, how do you, I always, you know, I'm not the greatest social media. I'm trying to get better, but it's like, where do you put your efforts in terms of marketing and things? But you have your company, and then that's going to be your cornerstone is the company page for all your projects?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much the majority of the information will be on the site, Panamorphic Pictures. But that actually started because I started out doing like cinematography and just wanted kind of a website to show some stuff. But I think it's just going to turn more into a full-on production company, I guess.
Yeah. And you had a DP or did you do it yourself?
Yeah, I had a DP and his name was Anthony Cousins. He was actually, I relied on him a lot because I valued his opinion. I really liked his style. He has a short film called When Sorcery Stirs. I can send you a link to that if you want.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. It went all over. Through like festivals, it was featured on like Blumhouse's website. And
how did you meet him? Is he buddy?
I knew who he was, but I had never talked. When I got Alex Konstam, I was actually looking for a DP, and I just kind of like randomly found Alex, asking him if he wanted to DP it. But he's like, "Well, I kind of only produce right now, so but I'm interested in producing your project." And he kind of like got in touch with Anthony, and Anthony liked the script, so he came on board.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of like just a weird series of events. Like,
do you feel like you had to hustle that? Like, that was a lot of effort to do, or did it just kind of fall into place?
Surprisingly, everything kind of just fell into place. Like, at first, it was a lot harder because it was only going to be me. I was going to film, do sound, you know, all the special effects, work with the actors, light it, all that. Mm-hmm. But then at some point, I was just like, well, I need a sound guy because sound's the most important part, especially for horror.
Right. Yeah.
And then I was like, well, if I'm getting a sound guy, I might as well at least just get a DP. And then basically when Alex came on accidentally, he suggested that we get a bigger crew. You know, we get a gaffer, we get a few grips, an art director, you know, and so on and so forth. And like I said, the majority of these people volunteered. And I think a lot of that is because of Anthony Cousins, the DP, because he's awesome. Like, once you see his work, you'll be like, wow, I see.
Yeah, because there's been a couple of shoots I've been on where the DP is like, you're the star of this. Without you, this whole thing falls apart. And it's amazing.
I like to refer to this quote that Steven Spielberg said. It's on the website, but basically, when I was a kid, there was no collaboration. It's you with a camera bossing your friend around. But as an adult, making is still about appreciating the talents of people you surround yourself with and knowing you could never have made any of these films by yourself. And I think that's so right, because without a good team, your film's gonna lack somewhere, because your attention has to be everywhere at once, you know. And it just helps so much having more people helping you.
And I think that's a great message, because I know I'm all about like, you can do it yourself. And you don't have to have a giant crew, but at the same time, what you said is very true in that something's got to give. You can't be everywhere at once. you know, even Superman can't be everywhere at once. So you have to say, what is going to be the part that I'm okay with not getting perfect? And I've seen some people say like, well, I'm just going to have it, you know, not look as good. I'll have some kind of, I'll do the VHS effect to make it look like it's an old VHS tape to hide all the imperfections of the video, but I'll really focus on sound and I'll really focus on this or whatever they want to do. But if you don't have to, I mean, if you get a team, yeah, do it. And it sounds like you were really, I would say luck, but it seems like you're a very kind of easygoing, cool guy. And I would, just talking to you for a few minutes, I would love to work with you. So I think you have that special ability to build a team probably.
Well, thank you very much. But honestly, people want to be involved, you know, like California is a little different because it's so saturated with filmmakers. But when you branch out a little bit, like in places like Minnesota, where things don't happen as frequently, I think people want to help, you know, genuinely. I mean, like there were people outside of their houses recording it with their phones, you know, just because it was interesting to them. But in California, you know, you have people that go out with leaf blowers when they see production sets just because they know the producers will pay them hush money, you know.
I think it's awesome that you're able to build this really cool team together without all the drama that can come with it. So good job.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there was absolutely no drama. A couple of the volunteers from the first weekend were only supposed to be there for the first weekend, but they wanted to come back because they had a lot of fun. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. And I think that says a lot about you as a director, that you're able to foster this sense of easygoingness. And, you know, how did it go with terms of like, did you have an assistant director to do scheduling and all that? Or how did you manage all those pieces?
It was basically just me and Alex Konstam, the producer, setting everything up, coordinating. And once he came on, that took a lot of it off of my back. You know, I really am grateful for him because coordinating and like scheduling and stuff like that isn't my forte. I have trouble with it because especially on like a bigger team, but we somehow managed to get everyone together at the necessary times. So it just kind of worked out, I guess, really.
That's awesome. And like for the shooting, did it go pretty smooth or did you have to do a lot of takes and have to keep going, or how did that go for you?
We had to move pretty fast because the kids can only work so many hours because they were also in school at the time too, you know.
And oh, I mean, man,
we were shooting on weekends, but still, you know, these kids aren't,
yeah, they can't stay up so late.
Yeah, so we had to move as fast as we could. So for every shot, we maybe did like 4, maybe 5 takes tops and then just moved on. And it was like really quick. Blocking the scene was weird because the locations were a lot different than in the script, just because we had to just kind of work with the locations that we could get. So when we got to it, I usually showed up an hour or two early and I just kind of walked through the location and just be like, well, all right, we'll get a shot here. And then I'd go over to somewhere else. We'll get a shot here, you know, kind of just visualizing it. I didn't really have a shot list, which kind of, I think, bothered Anthony Cousins at first a little bit, but we kind of figured out a way to work together. And we just kind of organically got the shots.
And you know, I work that way most of the time too, when I just with my, you know, with me and a couple of dudes, because it's like you can have a shot list, but at the same time I've seen that like it often doesn't really help as much as you think it would. And like you said, you have to be adapting to the circumstances and be okay with it. So I think that's huge that you were embracing that and not worrying about it, because I've seen other people get really worried about it.
Yeah, definitely. Stanley Kubrick never shot listed anything, I don't think. You know,
that makes sense. I didn't know that.
He's a master, so.
Yeah. If you can get coverage and you can have an editing eye, like I think if you don't know how to edit at all and you're just relying on other people, maybe you have to have a shot list because you need to know what they need. But I think if you have that ability to understand how the editing process works, then you can kind of intuitively know, okay, we need this, we need that, we need this to make it work. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
Yeah, definitely. like I said earlier, I kind of messed around with green screens and stuff like that. So I kind of got used to After Effects and Premiere through doing that.
That's fun. I love After Effects doing green screen. It's a good time for me.
Yeah, it's pretty easy nowadays too. You know, you just slap on key light and
yeah, just and the key light's a, if people don't know, key light's a plugin for After Effects, and it's very, very powerful in terms of like you can make a crappy green screen work, and it's, you know, there might be a little artifacting here and there, but it doesn't have to be really well green screened. It could be not so good and still work. And rotor brushing too, I use that a lot as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be a green screen. It can be like white, black, whatever yeah. color you want.
Well, cool. Well, kind of. I'll kind of wrap things up so people can check out your website, and you have the preview on Vimeo, Devil's Night, and pantomorphicpictures.com is the website.
It's .net. I have the .com domain name, but it kind of got lost in the interwebs somewhere. I need to just figure out where it is. But right now, pantomorphicpictures.net.
.net. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for listening. I know you enjoyed that. Please check out Anthony's website, see his short film, and come back next time for more micro-budget filmmaking. You can give us a like on Facebook. You can visit our site, backyardspaceopera.com. Any questions or comment, email info@backyardspaceopera.com. Thanks again.